Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to read again verses 4 and 5 as a literal translation from the Hebrew, which says, "Listen and take heart, O Israel. Yahweh our God, Yahweh, is uniquely united as one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." This is our text. In that wonderful confession of the Christian faith that we all read responsively a few minutes ago, the Athanasian Creed, there is a portion that has historically been translated from the original Latin that proclaims our belief in, quote, "the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible." That Latin word for incomprehensible is actually immensus, which is where we get our English word immense. The word describes that which is, it goes a little bit bigger than just big. It describes that which is immeasurable, boundless, infinite. That is impossible for us limited human beings to comprehend or grasp fully. When Jesus was talking with Nicodemus in our gospel reading, he spoke about how the Holy Spirit is incomprehensible. He likens it to the way that we believe in the wind. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." In other words, you can't control it, nor can you see it, though you do see its effects. And yet, although we can never see or fully grasp the wind, none of us questions its existence, do we? Look at air, oxygen, the atmosphere, or the very essence of life itself. Even though we can't physically see those things, we believe they exist. Right? So it is with the triune God that we celebrate, that we confess here today. The term itself is a mystery. Triune, meaning three in one. So briefly, what is this incomprehensible belief in the triune God? Well, first of all, we believe and we confess that there is one and only one God. Deuteronomy 4, verse 35 says, "Yahweh is God. Besides him, there is no other." So, as unpopular as it may be, if you believe God's word to be the absolute truth, as we do here in this church, then all of the other so-called gods in the world are simply Satan's lies. They don't exist. They are merely idols created by mankind, existing in mankind's imagination. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, "We know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one." Second, we believe and we publicly confess that within the one true God, there is three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So one plus one plus one equals one. I know that's incomprehensible. It's impossible for us to fully grasp. For centuries, the doctrine has made people uncomfortable because it doesn't fit with our human way of thinking. So, naturally, we have tried to figure it out. We have tried to make sense of it. But every time in history, The people have tried to do this to make the Trinity make sense. They have fallen headlong into false teaching. And that's why the three creeds that we Christians confess, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, that's why they were created. To respond to the many false attempts in the early church where human beings tried and tried and tried to make the incomprehensible triune God fit into our limited way of thinking. And guess what? Everyone, all of those false teachings still exist today. For example, there is, just a few of them, modalism, which is the belief that God is one person, but just in three modes or three expressions, as if God were some kind of eternal trick-or-treater that changes his mask and costume depending on what he's doing at the time. Oftentimes, we Christians fall into this unknowingly when we come up with trying to make sense of it for our kids, talking about how the Trinity is like water that can be in three modes, ice, liquid, and vapor. But that's modalism. And that's how the Unitarian Church today views God, a blatant denial of the Trinity. And then there is tritheism, which is the belief that there are really three separate gods, and that these gods are only three among many other gods. Which then leads to subordinationism, where people not only believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three separate gods, but also that the Son is subordinate, that is, somehow less of a God than the Father, and that the Holy Spirit is lesser still than the Son. Now, many so-called churches take these corruptions of the Bible's teaching and shamefully mix them all up to just kind of do whatever it is they're wanting to do into all kinds of variations of tritheism and subordinationism. The most common examples of this are found in the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, who really have very twisted ideas about the triune God. You see, the problem comes whenever we are unwilling to trust God's word of truth just because it teaches us something that our human minds are unable to comprehend. Rather than trust in God, we too often try to twist and change it to fit inside of our human reason. But as Christians, folks, we can't do that. Not with this, not with any other teaching from Scripture. Why? Because God's ways are far above our ways. And we are truly blessed. We are blessed as confessional Lutherans because our forefathers understood this danger. And so they wrote down and publicly confessed God's truth regarding the triune God to help keep us away from going astray. In what is called the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, written at the time of Martin Luther, we find this quote. "We believe and teach that there is one divine essence, undivided, and that there are nevertheless three distinct and co-eternal persons of the same divine essence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have always taught and defended this article, maintaining that its testimonies in the Holy Scriptures are solid, firm, and cannot be overthrown. And we constantly affirm that those who believe otherwise stand outside of the Church of Christ, are idolaters, and regard God with contempt." Unquote. You see, the true Christian church for ages has understood the Holy Trinity to be the highest of mysteries, unquote, and we embrace it in faith. We embrace it in faith because without it, we are not saved. And any attempts to force it into our human thinking will always, always fail. There once was a man attending an evening service where the pastor preached about the triune God. After the service, the man approached the pastor and he said, "I enjoyed your service, but I am not convinced of what you said. I just cannot get it through my head that there are three persons and yet only one God." And so the pastor asked the man, "Well, what size hat do you wear?" The man replied, 6 7/8. "Why do you ask?" The pastor replied, "Oh, I was just wondering how you expected to get this great, almighty, and majestic God of heaven and earth into just your size 6 7/8 head." In reality, that's what it means to have faith, to believe in, to hold fast to that which we cannot comprehend. To accept it as true for no other reason except that God has said that it is true in His Word. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." But having that conviction, that faith in the triune God, is only the beginning of many more incomprehensible yet absolutely crucial truths that follow as a result. And we see perhaps the greatest of these in our gospel reading today. It's God's incomprehensible love for you, for me, for the entire world. Just think about it. How could and why would the all-powerful, perfect, holy, righteous God over the entire universe care one tiny bit about the likes of us? He said himself in Scripture that we are all full of sin and disobedience. Throughout history, from the time he gave us life, we have not been satisfied with his gifts. I mean, we misuse his name as readily as we breathe air. We publicly fight and rebel against his authority. We abuse his kindness, his creation, and all of the good that he gives to us. And still, we hear these incomprehensible words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." How awesome is that? That brief gospel promise refers to each person in the triune God. It's the Father who loved and cared for you and me enough to give us his very best. No, not a greeting card, though that is Hallmark's slogan. He gave us, meaning it's 100% an undeserved gift, he gave us his own Son to be brutally tortured and sacrifice for our salvation. And it's the Son himself who also loves you and me enough, so much that he willingly took our human nature upon himself. He became a human being. Now that's love. And there's more. You know, he could have just vaporized all of those who were out to kill him with just one word. His power is that immense. But he didn't. Instead, he took our sin upon himself, and he endured the penalty of hell and death, though he never sinned even once. Why? So that you, so that I, might be saved. Which brings us to the Spirit, whom we received from the Father and the Son. He loves us enough to break through, break down, and overcome the barriers of our unbelief and doubt, to deliver to us the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice. He is the one who gives us the ability to believe in Jesus. In our baptismal grace, He showers us with forgiveness. He promises us eternal life in heaven. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 15, that it's through the Spirit that we become God's children, that we come to see God's incomprehensible love, so that now we cry out, Abba, Father. So, now that we are His children, you and I have the incomprehensible within us. And it changes us from selfish rebels into people who actually want to live according to the words in Deuteronomy 6. It's true. As believers, we are so thankful for God's incomprehensible love and grace that we want to. We desire, we ache to love Yahweh our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. His love for us, His gift of grace, transforms who I am and how I think, so that now my focus and my priority is to spend time, as Deuteronomy 6 says, with my children, with my grandchildren, impressing upon them God's commands and promises in Scripture. This is the role that God has given us as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and Christian adults. And you might say, well, my kids are all grown. That doesn't mean they aren't your children anymore. That doesn't mean your role goes away. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard parents tell me, quote, or something like this, we are not going to teach just one religion to our children. Instead, we want them to learn about all of the religions equally so that they can decide for themselves what to believe when they get older. Well, that false, flawed, and sinful human thinking is 100% against the word that we have directly from God here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. To teach that all religions, that all gods are equal, is to actively teach our children to reject the one true triune God. For God stresses in Ephesians 6, verse 4, that a parent's, and especially a father's, second highest priority in life, behind his own love for God, must be to teach God's word to his children. Look at our text in Deuteronomy 6. It describes it. It is a full-time, lifetime, all-encompassing job to teach and talk God's word wherever we are at in order to, quote, bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. It's a major commitment. Walking and talking, reading, and praying and living the faith with our children. And God is very clear. It's not just any faith about any random God that we are to teach. Verse 4, take to heart and listen, he says. Yahweh our God, Yahweh is uniquely united as one. So first of all there, he's clear. Our God has a name. Yahweh. That's the God we're talking about. And second, the Hebrew word there, which is translated as one in what you have in your bulletin, echad, means unique, one of a kind, perfectly united in essence. There is only one true faith in only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This we are to actively teach to our children, to our grandchildren, and proclaim to the world. So even if you don't have children or grandchildren, you're not off the hook, folks. We are to proclaim it to everyone. But let's be honest with ourselves. We haven't done all of that as we should, have we? We've allowed other things to get in the way. We've been selfish. We've been weak in our priorities. We've even allowed our children, our society, and others to make decisions about the spiritual upbringing and activities of our children instead of God. And yet through it all, God's love for us remains incomprehensible, always faithful, never wavering. You know, God, in that fact, is like the Energizer Bunny on steroids times a million. He just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving some more. Giving us forgiveness for our sins. Giving us the desire and the strength to amend our ways. Giving us encouragement, comfort, even accountability through our fellow members, our believers. Giving us his incomprehensible peace in any and all circumstances. Two of you are having surgery this week. You have God's incomprehensible peace as you approach those surgeries. Giving us the promise of eternity in paradise with him. Giving us his incomprehensible love. And giving it all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, and keep you in our Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.